Hi, this is Catherine McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Could you whisper in my ear the things you want to feel? I'll give you anything to feel it coming. Do you wake up on your own? I wonder where you are, and if it's all your fault. I want to wake up where you are. I won't say anything at all, so why don't you try?
After 8 on a Tuesday.
Don't you love the life you kill? The priest is on the phone. Your father hit the wall. Your mother disowned you. Don't suppose I'll ever know. To me, to be a man, or something I can change. A little round here. I want to wake up where you are. I won't say anything at all.
All right, Ronald Lee Ermey, born on March 24th, 1944, passed away on April 15th, 2018. Achieved fame by playing Gunnery Sergeant Hartman in the 1987 movie Full Metal Jacket, earned him a Golden Globe nomination as Best Supporting Actor. Oh, man. He was also a United States Marine Corps Staff Sergeant and an honorary gunnery sergeant. He played that role, right? All over the place. All right. Let's see. He hosted two programs on the History Channel. One was called Mail Call, and the other was called Locked and Loaded with R. Lee Ermey, which concerned the development of different types of weapons. He also hosted Gunny Time on the Outdoor Channel. I think that was the one. I was trying to get him on the show, and he was launching that, and he was going to Europe, and I can't remember, there were some other things he was doing. His early life, he was born in Emporia, Kansas. He grew up with five brothers on a farm outside of Kansas City. In 1958, when he was 14, he moved to the state of Washington and the city of Zilla. As a teenager, he often got in trouble with the authorities, was arrested twice for criminal mischief by the age of 17. After his second arrest, a judge gave him a choice between the military and jail. He chose the military. We don't do that anymore, but it turned out pretty well for the gunny. He enlisted in the Marine Corps in 1961. Goes to MCRD in San Diego. He served as in the aviation support field for a few years before becoming a drill instructor at MCRD in San Diego, where he served from 1965 to 1967. He then served in Marine Wing Support Group 17 in Futima and in Okinawa. In 1968, he was ordered to Vietnam with Marine Wing Support Group 17 and spent 14 months in country. The remainder of his service was Okinawa, where he was advanced to SAS Sergeant. He was medically retired in 1972 because of several injuries. In 2002, he received an honorary promotion to Gunnery Sergeant by the Commandant of the Marine Corps, James Jones. Ermey continued to visit MCRD San Diego and Parris Island to speak with recruits. He filmed an episode of Mail Call at Parris Island. Talks about his films. He was married in 1975. He and his wife had four children. He is the co-founder of a company called Bravery Brewing in Lancaster, California. And then he would do morale tours. And did those on a fairly regular basis. He described himself politically as an independent. In 2008, he voted for Barack Obama, but later mocked his economic policies. Ermey said in an interview earlier in 2015 that he supported Texas Senator Ted Cruz for president. He said, "You know what? I just watched Ted Cruz. I mean, that's a tough act to follow. I'm not going to tell you who I'm going to vote for, but I'm going to let you guess. And the first two guesses don't count." He was a strong supporter of the Second Amendment. He died in Santa Monica, California, from complications related to pneumonia. He was 74 years old. His decorations include Meritorious Unit Commendation, Good Conduct Medal with two bronze stars. So for a kid who got in trouble, he didn't get in trouble in the Marine Corps. National Defense Service Medal, Armed Forces Expeditionary Medal, Vietnam Service Medal, the Drill Instructor Ribbon, South Vietnamese Gallantry Cross with Palm, South Vietnamese Presidential Unit Citation, South Vietnamese Campaign Medal. His films include, I'm not even going to go through them. I'll go through them and I'll pick out the ones that you will be familiar with. Okay. He starts in 1978 with the film entitled Boys of Company C. In 1979, he's in Apocalypse Now, where he's a helicopter pilot. Yeah. Most people don't know that. But he's the Eagle Thrust 7 helicopter pilot. So in the scene where the helicopters are hovering around and all that, you'll see his mug. In 1987, so he starts his career in 1978. By 1987, he's in the movie Full Metal Jacket. He also appears in Miami Vice in 1987. He's in Mississippi Burning, where he plays a mayor. In 1989, he's in Fletch Lives, which starred Chevy Chase. In 1989. In 1989, he's also in The Siege of Firebase Gloria, where he narrates the movie, and he plays a sergeant major. In 1990, he appears in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 different things. I've never heard of any of them. In 1991, he's in the movie Toy Soldier. He's in a movie called The Terror Within. 1993, he's in the movie Summersby. A romantic movie. He's in the movie Body Snatchers. And he's in the movie, Double Switch. I was thinking it was something else. He's in the movie Naked Gun. He's in the movie Tales from the Crypt, or the TV series Tales from the Crypt, in an episode entitled Stared in Horror. He's in Leaving Las Vegas as a conventioneer. He's in the movie Toy Story as the character Sarge, where he obviously plays a voice. He's in the movie Dead Man Walking, appeared in The Simpsons. 1996, he was in the movie Soul of the Game, television movie. He's in the movie Prefontaine, about Steve Prefontaine. He's in the movie Starship Troopers. He's in Toy Story 2. He's in Saving Silverman. He was a busy guy, man. He's in all kinds of stuff. He's in 2003, he's in the Texas Chainsaw Massacres. He's in 2004, he's in Father of the Pride TV show. In the movie X-Men Last Stand, he makes a voice cameo in that. He's in another version of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. In 2007, he appears in the children's show SpongeBob SquarePants. He plays a prison warden. How funny is that? He is in Toy Story 3 as the character Sarge. He's in the movie Kung Fu Panda. He's also, his voice is also in the video game Call of Duty Ghosts as a drill instructor. So, I mean, honestly, I mean, an incredible long career for Arlie Ermey. The Gunny, as we all knew him. And, all right, so this is him talking about the M60 machine gun. Now, remember, he's an aviation guy. Just for the record, okay? He was a drill instructor, but come on.
Okay, we're back to the big boys. I got a gun so fearsome, so deadly, that it was called Hitler's buzzsaw, the MG-42.
1942, MG-42 Mauser. Caliber, 7.92 millimeter. Rate of fire, 1,200 rounds per minute. Range, 1,100 yards. From the Italian campaign of 1943 to the Battle of Berlin in 1945, the MG-42 is a weapon you don't want to meet. 1,200 rounds per minute, twice as fast as any machine gun before it.
The rapid rate of fire made a terrifying sound. This gun was so deadly, the U.S. Army created training films to help soldiers identify the gun's signature sound in battle. The poor SOBs that found themselves on the business end of this gun nicknamed it Hitler's Buzzsaw.
And helping me get this bad boy buzzing is MG-42 expert Kent Josephson.
Now, again, the cool part about this program was, you know, you got to see these vintage weapons, right, do their thing. And they're not around very much anymore. So they would find collectors, and you would get to see these things. I saw one version, I think it's him, where he replicated, somebody had built the Stinger that Marine Corps Medal of Honor recipient Tony Stein built out of a air-cooled, lightweight, 30 caliber machine gun that was used in the wings of aircraft. He took that, he made a stock for it, and I want to say he made two or three of them, and they went ashore with them on Iwo Jima. And so Tony Stein, I mean, and his Medal of Honor citation is, he takes his boots off on Iwo Jima. Yeah, and he's running around in his bare feet. And he makes, I don't know how many, like 8 trips back to the beach to go get ammunition for his Stinger and whatnot. I mean, it's a crazy story, but you actually got a chance to see it in this video. It's very cool. Very cool. So, this is the MG-42, which is what the M60 was based on. So, I've never seen it fired like this.
This thing was absolutely devastating. It was like ripping, it sounded like ripping a piece of cloth. And there's not many machine guns that make a sound like this one. You can hear it, you don't even have to see it, and you know exactly what you're up against.
Yeah, buzzsaw right away. I have visions of it cutting down trees.
Oh, it's extremely demoralizing to the Allied troops. They would hear that thing going, and it's not going to be a good day.
Here's what...
Let me just tell you, any machine gun does that, okay?
What allowed the MG-42 to shoot so fast and made it a breakthrough in machine gun history? Unlike the Maxim, it does way more than just harness recoil. It uses gas pressure from each fired round to speed up the reload. Then super smooth rollers on top guide each round into the breach quicker. This gas-assisted technology opens up a whole new world of machine gun speed. And the innovation doesn't stop there. The barrel is air-cooled, not water-cooled like the Browning. Now here's the real kicker. An air-cooled barrel is still going to get pretty hot with intensive fire. So the MG42 has replaceable barrels.
But it's good for how many rounds before you have to change barrels? Because I noticed we have two extra barrels
here. Exactly. If sustained fire, it's about 150 rounds is what the manual said.
And this barrel change is the...
So sustained fire is you can shoot 150 rounds a minute out of it, and you're not going to have to change the barrel. You start going above that, you're going to see the barrel start to do tricks.
One silver lining for our boys. It gives them a chance to make a break.
5 to 7 seconds was the average time they could change the barrel. In fact, that's what the Allied forces, they trained their the infantry to only attack during the barrel change.
Oh, well, that's awesome. You got 5 to 7 seconds to get there. You better hope you're within 10 yards, right? Otherwise, it's gonna be a bad day.
Now, to honor the Buzzsaw's nickname, we're just gonna cut down our own little forest out there.
Oh, this is ridiculous. They have these twigs, right? It looks like they're thicker than a broom handle stuck in the ground. I've seen these things drop huge trees.
So here we go. Well, I see a distinct pattern where we went across them, but we didn't chop them down. Might have to load up again. What do you think?
Let's change the barrel and do it again.
Let's do it.
Now remember, the Allies had just this long. 7 seconds to get out from undercover and attack before all hell breaks loose again. This firepower allows the Germans to hold more ground with less men.
It's really funny because none of these sticks are going over. They're too small, man. He's not hitting them. The rounds are going by him.
Yeah.
Nice work, Paul Bunyan.
The Buzzsaw is the doggone logging tool, isn't it? Look at this.
You did nice work.
Just sheared them suckers right off. Look at that.
Absolutely beautiful.
That is pretty cool. That squad of timber right there is flat dead. There's no question about it. Let's have a military funeral for this squad of timber. Hoorah! The MG-42 was such an impressive weapon, the Americans just had to have one for their very own. Thus, the birth of the M-60 machine gun.
1957, the M-60, caliber 7.62 millimeter NATO. Rate of fire, 550 rounds per minute. Range, 1,200 yards. Now, if you think this looks vaguely familiar, go straight to the top of the class. It's pretty much based on the MG-42 Buzzsaw. The American designers thought 1,200 rounds per minute was a little overkill. It ate up too much ammo, ammo that needed more guys to hump. The U.S. wanted a lighter gun to move forward with the troops. And until now, most machine guns needed a crew of four. Well, the M60 only needed one.
Hoo-wee. Got my buddy Matt Walker here, and he brought his toy in for us to play with today. This is the M60 machine gun, fondly referred to as the pig. Matt, this is yours, isn't it?
It is. It's my toy.
The guys in Vietnam grew to know and love the pig.
They did. Initially, it had some tethering problems. It's very susceptible to dirt. When you get dirt in the system, it won't work. That's actually how it got the nickname the pig. Because it wouldn't work, and it was a pig.
Once folks learned how to keep this honker clean, we start seeing the advantage of a lightweight, all-round weapon that one man can carry. Even though the M60 shot less rounds per minute than the MG42, she was just as effective. All you have to know is how to use her. Let me show you what I mean on those pretty little targets about 50 yards downrange there.
Well, you know, we got those targets set up right over there for a reason. You know that, right?
I do, but if you miss, Gunny, it's your fault. Don't blame the gun. The gun will do it.
The gunny is not going to miss, darling.
Well, we'll...
So why don't we let...
We'll find out.
He's an aviation guy, man. Come on now. Let's not go there.
Just like the MG-42, the M60 has a nice long barrel, which helps the gun's accuracy. And it can group your rounds on target. I'm going to let you in on a machine gun secret here. The longer you hold the trigger, the less accurate you get.
Gunny, you think you can handle this? This is a doozy.
I'm ready.
Okay, we're going to get a 100-round burst into target number one. If you think you can do it.
I'm breathing heavy.
Do you need to sit down? Do you need a minute?
All right. Normally, what is it? 5 to 10 rounds on a machine gun? 3 to 5 on a light machine gun? And unless you have it bolted down, you don't do this.
I'm ready to go.
Let's make the gun hot. You're just going to hold the trigger down until it stops.
It's on a pedestal mount in an old Jeep.
Let's get it on.
Ready?
I'm always ready.
When you shoot 100 rounds in a sustained burst, it's almost impossible to maintain pinpoint accuracy. Because once the gun gets going, recoil causes it to jump around, and the bullets start to spread.
All right. Victory! I think we killed it.
Now, if you want accuracy, you have to reduce your trigger time. Let me just show you.
Okay, I'm going to take out target number 4. 5-round burst. How about we go up and have a look at it?
Let's go see how you did, Gunny.
My first 100-round burst is all over the place.
Nice little brushstroke, huh?
That's right.
Kind of like Michael Damangelo,
right?
That's
fine art. Indeed. We're sending you to Italy.
But the less I fire, the better my grouping.
Okay, target number 4. Got some fairly decent groups. You can see it, 5-round burst.
These are your 5-rounds. See, here's one. You got a little trigger happy because there's 6. But yeah, there's a good one. Nice and tight.
So now you know. Even though the M60 wasn't faster than the MG-42, she didn't need to be. The fact that she was light enough for one man to carry outweighed any negatives, which is why she's still going strong after 50 years in service.
Oh, yeah! Now that's what I call concentrated fire.
Machine guns can be a soldier's best friend. And I made buddies with quite a few of them in my time. The M60 Pig was a favorite of mine back in the day.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, Ohio Man is a huge fan of the movie, The Boys of Company C, and he harangues me about watching it. I have yet to watch it. Email's entitled Gunny. Don't forget The Boys in Company C, 1978. Younger Gunny, in my opinion, and better portrayal of a DI. There's a couple of other good ones, too. So you'll hear a couple clips from The Boys of Company C when we come back as we celebrate the life of Arlie Ermey, the Gunny. But again, I think most of us saw him. Most of us got to know him during Mail Call. And the funny stuff that he would do, just the way he would talk, where he would bring the Marine Corps culture, to everybody. So we'll continue to look at his life and play, the funny stuff, the wit, and again, the way he brought the Marine Corps life, Marine Corps terminology to everybody via the History Channel and his program Mail Call, which was, my kids used to watch it, right? My kids used to watch it. So don't touch that dial. More of Almarine Radio coming up next on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
Hi, this is Tim McGarry from the McGarry Mortgage Minute. Heard every Wednesday right here on All Marine Radio, where I'll answer all your mortgage questions from home buying to home financing, from VA to conventional loans to moving in. So don't miss it. The McGarry Mortgage Minute, right here on All Marine Radio, on the All Warrior Radio Network. And remember, my name is McGarry, and I'm here to help.
Find all of Tim McGarry's contact information on the Read Board page at allmarineradio.com.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when the group can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs at allmarineradio.com. And I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
I'm good, but I have a story and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Just a young gun with a quick fuse. I was uptight, wanna let loose. I was dreaming of bigger things and wanna leave my old life behind. Not a yes sir, not a follower. Fit the box with the mold, have a seat in the foyer. Take
hear, we're just having some fun today with Arlie Ermey. And you're going to hear him in the Boys of Company C. But before we do that, he explains the 21 Gun Salute. This was the stuff I used to like. Because, you know, you would find out stuff that you didn't even know. You know, you'd know the majority of it. But there would always be some little nuanced fact that he would roll in there about, like, a 21 Gun Salute that you wouldn't know about. And then it would become the subject of a conversation with your friends. Hey, did you know? Alright, so. Here's the gunny again. And I've never seen the boys of Company C, so. I don't think I have. Maybe I've seen clips of it. I just don't know it's that movie. But here he is explaining. And this was what I used to like about mail call was, you know, people would write in and ask questions, and then they'd sit around and do it. So here you have them.
We're back. Just enough time left for me to square your ass away about another bit of military trivia. Lynn in Appleton City, Missouri, wants to know, what's the deal behind the 21-gun salute? Why not 15? Why not 25? Or some other number? Great question, Lynn. And here's the 411 on the 21 gun. Sometime around the 14th century, when ships started carrying cannons, gun salutes were instituted to let folks on shore know that your Navy was friend, not foe. Since early cannons carried only one shot, discharging them meant you were unarmed. Originally, ships fired 7 of their guns. Why 7? This is where it gets mystical. Some people say it was because God rested on the 7th day, or because the phases of the moon change every 7 days, or because people thought 7 was just a lucky number. But nobody really knows why. Now, the guys on shore would respond with 3 shots from their land batteries for every one fired from sea. That adds up to a 21-gun salute. In the 19th century, the U.S. military laid out some rules and regulations on cannon salutes. Today, you get a 21-gun salute in this country only if you're the head of a foreign government, a member of a reigning royal family, or if you're the president or president-elect or ex-president of the United States. Now, lots of other big wigs can be honored with gun salutes, just not the big 21. If you're the vice president, speaker of the house, or a member of the cabinet, for example, you're entitled to a 19-gun salute. 4-star generals, admirals, and chairpersons of house committees get 17, and so on down to 5-gun salute for certain embassy consuls. What do you think gunnery sergeants ought to get? Semper Fi. Carry on.
Right? There you have it. And he would educate you. He would educate you on some nitnoid. Oh, I want to watch this one. Oh, that's not mail call. That's I grew up watching a show called Combat. Vic Morrow was in it, and it detailed a squad of soldiers in Europe in World War II. I love that show. Sergeant Saunders, Cage, Kirby, Little John. And, I watched the living hell out of that thing. Alright, the Boys of Company C. I've never seen any of this, alright? So, or at least I don't think I have. Now, I say that because, you know, when I went through the basic school and then went back there to teach, you know, there wasn't that much, you know, there was no YouTube, you know, you tended to see videotapes people had copied from movies and they spliced into classes and things like that. So this is a scene, it looks like there's palm trees and a gray bus and guys with long hair. They look like people that grew up in the 60s or 70s at a recruit depot.
Sergeant, get this shit out of my fucking face.
I'm Sergeant Lois. I'm your drill instructor for the next 2 fucking months, maggots. Jesus, how in the hell do they expect me to train fucking Marines when they won't even send me human goddamn beings to start with? Sergeant, get these fucking people through receiving barracks. I'm going to help you out. I don't want to drop in any of their fucking civilian slime on the way through. Jesus. When you are told to do so, you will reach down by your right foot, pick up your bags, empty the contents on the table in front of you. You will empty your pockets and place the contents of your pockets on the table in front of you. Do it now!
What do you get in your back pocket?
Contraband. Get rid of it.
That's fine. Get rid of it.
Look in my pocket. Oh, nice. Check the color rubbers. I'll bet you're a virgin, aren't you?
What? I lost it when I was 13.
What? I lost it when I was 13, sir! Contraband, get rid of it. What do you have in the package there, Private?
Cookies for my girlfriend, sir.
Bullshit. Contraband, put it on the table. Oh, what do we have here? A little faggot, huh? How about getting your jewelry off there, sweetheart, and put it on the table? What do you have in your pockets there, lipstick? Jesus, put the goddamn thing on the table!
That was... that was a switchblade. The he's young there in that scene. He's also what in Firebase Gloria. I remember seeing him there. here's another email. I love that show Mail Call. I would watch it. I think it was on Saturdays on the History Channel. And that was back in the day when you had to conform to the television channel. There was no DVD or VCR or anything like that. He made me laugh, Mac. And all she was doing was just being a jackass gunning. How funny is that? You mentioned this yesterday, but the stuff he would say about fat body, you don't need another donut, would straight up make me laugh my ass off because it reminded me so much of my time in the Marine Corps. What a wonderful life he lived, certainly playing the role of Marine in everything he did, whether he used the title or not. What a career, what a life. I hope he did not suffer. He made me smile an awful lot. Thanks for playing this stuff. It is very, very funny. You know, it is funny, right? He is a riot. And the stuff that he did. And, you know, it's right. He did so many things, that were, whether it be with weapons, whether it be with unique, vehicles, you know, and he brought that all to us. So, Lee Ermey, very funny. So you'll see these things where, you know, they'll have like a collection of, you know, how many different, you know, Mail Call episodes, 51. It's kind of weird, you know. And he just did, I mean, he got all over the place. He did an episode where, you know, with relative to EOD. And he just always, you know, with collecting items. I'll tell you what, here's the last clip I'll play. And he compares the M14 to the M16. But, I mean, they would dig up these things, right? That he would have somebody either based on an email or something they wanted to do, and they'd contact collectors, and they would he'd get to go play with all this crazy stuff. Some of it vintage antique stuff. Very, very cool. So he's comparing the M14 and the M16 right here. So this will be the last clip we play. But again, really funny. What a great dude.
Suck in your gut. It's time for Mail Call. I've got the weapons in question right here. Let's start with the old M14. The M14 was designed to replace the M1 rifle. This was highly dependable, good range, plenty of firepower. The M14 fires a 7.62mm round. Magazine fed, designed primarily for semi-automatic fire. And it's gas operated. Now, if you've been watching Mail Call, you know what gas operated means. And if you haven't, that's just tough, ain't it? This was the weapon I was carrying in the Marines. But in the mid-1970s...
Tell me that shit isn't funny. When he busts that out, that's just tough, huh?
60s, the military started phasing out the M14 and replacing it with the M16. And by 1968, most grunts were carrying the M16. And let me tell you, not everybody was too happy about it either. So what's the big deal about switching rifles?
You know, if you really want to interesting, hear Jack Riley talk about, as a squad leader, you know, when you gave up your M14, and he said, no shit, Mattel made the handguards on the M16, and you just thought, what the hell did they give me?
Well, man and rifle develop a pretty tight bond in combat. And changing up in the middle of a war, even if the new weapon is better in some ways, caused a real uproar with some folks.
This debate over the adoption of M16 goes on to this day. Some people argue that it was more a political decision and good lobbying by the Colt manufacturing company that got the M16 so readily adopted. On the other hand, there's some people with the modifications that have been made to the M16 swear by it.
The biggest objection to the M16 was that it wasn't as reliable as the M14.
And the M16 started malfunctioning and jamming. It worked fine in demonstrations and also in environments that were almost pharmaceutically grade clean. The problem was, in combat, there's so much dirt, mud, debris, muck, and you can't constantly clean the weapon. It's very difficult under those conditions.
The other factor that stood out for a lot of people was accuracy.
This rifle, accurate up to 600-700 yards and effective at that distance as well. Now, the M16, you can see, is a much smaller rifle. It also does not have the accuracy nor the killing power at the great distances that the M14 had. It's a much better rifle.
Killing power, uh-oh. Don't let the gunner hear that.
At 100 or 200 yards than it is at 400 or 500.
So why the hell would the U.S. military adopt a less accurate weapon that jammed a lot? Well, for one, the M16 was a lot lighter, thanks in large part to the unique background of its inventor, Eugene Stoner.
Stoner had worked for Lockheed for years, and he wanted to take some of those new plastics and some of the alloys, adopt it to a rifle, try to lighten the piece. The M16 was a good 3 to 4 pounds lighter than the M14, and also it had the carrying handle, the pistol grip. It has far less recoil under fully automatic fire.
The smaller kick is from the M16's smaller ammo, 5.56mm compared to 7.62 for the M14. Since they were smaller, soldiers could carry more of the M16 rounds, but a lot of grunts worried that they weren't lethal enough. All of these M16 features, good and bad, were part of a major shift in infantry fighting going on in the Army.
The U.S. Army, instead of training their infantry to be expert marksmen, they felt it was easier to train great numbers of soldiers to spray down an area in the Marine Corps. They always believed one shot kills. And also it demoralizes the enemy. The differences in philosophy can be demonstrated in the ratio of rounds expended per enemy killed. During World War II, we expended 20 to 25,000 rounds per enemy killed. During Vietnam, it was 200 to 400,000 rounds per enemy killed. Thus, in Vietnam, we were expending an enormous number of rounds without much effect.
Well, let's see these babies in action with a little live-fire demonstration. got men of me just where I want them over there. So first off, let's have a go with the M14. Now that's pretty good. Let's see how the M16 compares.
He's shooting a watermelon, just blowing them both up.
Both rifles perform superbly, there's no doubt about it. But being the sentimental old softy that I am, I still prefer the M14.
Come on. I have never fired the M14. So we're going to talk guns here with the gunner here momentarily. Yeah. You know, it is an interesting question. I mean, the history of that whole decision to go to the M16 during a conflict, to field it during a conflict, and that you would be issued the rifle in Vietnam, not new units deploying, but we didn't deploy like that, right? So it's not like you could field it. All right, this battalion's going to go with the M16. It's going to, you know, obviously its logistics chain will accommodate that. This battalion is been using the M14. We're not going to ask them to transition in stride in country and learn a new weapon system. So it's interesting. So we will talk to Mike about that. yeah, I've never fired the M14. I have an M1 Garand. Never fired the M14 though. And I mean, it looks like the only differences are the addition of a magazine well and the extension of the barrel. And I don't know if that is simply a muzzle brake, a different type of muzzle brake, a different type of flash suppressor, whatever the hell they had going on, or if they actually did lengthen the barrel. So we will get to the bottom of this. But nonetheless, a final thought. I mean, he entertained for hours, and you know what? Playing a gunny. I mean, he made a pretty decent living out of it, out of playing a character that he learned in the Marine Corps, and then using that character in other forms, all based on the persona of quote unquote the gunning. So anyway, all right, we'll take a break. We come back. Mike Musselman will join us here on a Tuesday edition of All Marine Radio. We did a little salute to Arlie Ermey and all the different things that he brought us, and how he was a great ambassador of things Marine around the world. So we salute him as he was laid to rest late last week in Arlington National Cemetery. Snow-covered Arlington, if you look at the pictures. So don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up next.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
Hi, this is Tim McGarry from the McGarry Mortgage Minute. Heard every Wednesday right here on All Marine Radio, where I'll answer all your mortgage questions from home buying to home financing, from VA to conventional loans to moving in. So don't miss it. The McGarry Mortgage Minute, right here on All Marine Radio, on the All Warrior Radio Network. And remember, my name is McGarry, and I'm here to help.
Find all of Tim McGarry's contact information on the read board page at allmarineradio.com.
to be fully fit, you have to be physically fit. You also have to be mentally fit.
I wish that more warriors would realize how important it is if you get the psychological support that you need so that you can focus on the rest of your life.
I think it takes strength in order to admit that you have an issue, but it also takes intuitiveness of a friend, a leader, a supervisor to pick up on the signal that the soldier is having issues and needs to seek professional help in dealing with it.
It's also important for the lowest possible levels of leadership to be very supportive in helping their members get the help that they need.
When I went to get help, I had more help than I could ask for from my entire command.
It's sometimes challenging to come to a senior staff member or senior officer in the unit with a problem. There's not a commanding officer out there or a leadership staff out there that doesn't want to help. So don't hesitate. Come ask.
Learn more by visiting www.realwarriors.net or calling 1-866-966-1020.